Welcome to Soulful Streaming. I'm Tina.
And I'm Allie. And we are connecting you with the wisest souls to help you build a deeper connection with your mind, body, and soul.
So let's get to it.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Soulful Streaming. Today we have Karen Galway. Karen and I met by way of connection through my beloved acupuncturist, Christina, from Eastern Vitality Acupuncture. And Christina has been with me throughout my fertility journey and has held space for me through many ups and downs. She actually recommended Karen to me to explore my human design at a time when I was making a lot of career and life changes. So Karen, not only is she a certified human design coach, but she is also a speech therapist. And she loves to layer both of these tools into her work and into energetic work and bringing in her knowledge of how core beliefs are formed, as well as her background to help others, as she likes to say, live their life by design. So today I welcome you, Karen.
Hey, Karen, I'm excited to have you.
Yes, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you, ladies.
This is going to be a fun episode. So before we begin, we say we like to start with a quick round of speed dating, but who actually does speed dating anymore? We have to rename that, I think. Anyway, we're going to start with some fast questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit better.
Okay, I've been prepping for this because I've been listening to your podcast and I've been practicing the answers. And my question?
It's awesome. Maybe I'll throw you for a loop, like a curveball. I'll throw you a new one.
Okay. Oh, dear. Okay.
What was your first job?
I think this is such a typical 90s teenager job, but I worked at McDonald's.
What was your favorite food then? Soft serve, like all the time?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I just remember I could never make the soft serve ice cream, and I'd always get in trouble by the manager because I would either be like a whole mess of ice cream melting down the cone. And I don't think I end up getting laid off, like, because they had to lay off people, and I think I was like their weakest link. So I got that go.
You know, I child of the 90s, right? I think one of our first guests, Nadine Sherry, who's a mindfulness expert, her first job was at Dairy Queen. So maybe you couldn't get together and make some kick-ass ice cream.
Like, there we go.
So we all, you know, Allie and I love a good morning routine, a morning ritual. What's your favorite part of your morning routine?
Okay, so this is something that I need to work on, is developing a good morning routine. One of the things I've been relishing in is I don't like to get up early before my kids. I enjoy my sleep. And so when the kids are either they're having their breakfast, I'll have a cup of tea and then I'll just sit on the couch and sip on the cup of tea and just relish in those moments of peace. Or sometimes I'll crawl into bed with my tea and then the kids will crawl into bed with me after they're all dressed and ready to go. And then we just like connect in that early morning. Or I'm like, get out the door and then have a cup of tea on the couch by myself without anyone around. But it's usually just a few minutes of relishing in that stillness and like with that hot cup of tea.
So tea's consistent if you're in a chaotic morning or in a calm morning, right?
I try to. Coffee makes me, just revs me up. I don't do well with coffee, even though I love the taste of it. Like I just, yeah. But if I drink it for too many days in a row, I know it affects my adrenals. So I just go with a cup of tea. Yeah.
I can't live without my coffee. Allie and I were just chatting. I was telling her I had a migraine this morning because I'm doing a detox. And she's like, oh, did you take out caffeine? I'm like, I'm going to have coffee in my casket. Of course not. I'm not taking caffeine. You know, so good on you. Allie's a big tea girl too. Mm-hmm. So Soulful Streaming is obviously the name of our podcast. And we kind of describe it as a state of flow. Mm-hmm. So when do you know that your soul is streaming?
My soul is streaming. I feel like I stream it through my voice. And I think it's when I am in this flow of talking and it's just the words are flowing so effortlessly and it makes so much sense. And my mind is like, holy cow, like what you're saying is incredible. And so it's just like, I know. And then after I say it, if someone asks me to repeat, I'm like, I have no idea what I just said. Like, it's just in this flow. And there are times where I'll think of something to post, you know, on a sales page or on Instagram, and I'll just stream it. Like through my voice, I'm like, okay, let's sit down, type it out. I'm like, crap, what was it? Like it is. So it's like when I'm in that space with my voice. And it's funny because my, I know we haven't gotten into the human design, but my throat center is connected to my solar plexus. So I have this gift of speaking from my emotions, speaking in a way where people connect to my emotions. So I think that's just all part of just being in the flow for my
voice.
That's
great. That's great. And I'm sure our listeners can't wait to tune in to learn more about what that all means. Dead or alive, who would you invite to a dinner party?
This question always makes me anxious when I hear other people.
Does like, it really?
It does. I'm like, I don't know.
It's hard.
But I think if I were to pick someone, I would pick my grandfather who I never met. He passed away when my mom was, I think she was before she was married. But I've heard he was a riot. I heard he was like a big jokester and just was just a ball of fun. And I think he would be a hoot at a dinner party. So I think I would invite him.
That's awesome. That's great. What's the last photo on your phone?
From this morning, it was a crazy hair day for my kids' school. So my son wanted a shark fin mohawk. And my daughter, who has very short hair, had like pigtails in it. So it looks super cute.
Aww. Moments to always remember, right? Those little little kids and their hair. Love it.
So cool.
Shall we kick it off?
We shall. So Karen, I have to admit, human design was – so Tina and I have explored a lot of different, I would say, personality tests, right? And I'm a little funny this way. Like when something becomes super mainstream and is gaining popularity, the best example I could give is like a band that you found at a small stage at Lollapalooza, and then all of a sudden like they're becoming the headliners or you hear them on the radio and they're super commercial. And I mean, it's very obvious that the world of spirituality is growing in popularity. Personality tests are growing in popularity, and I usually have a tendency to like lose interest. But for some reason, you know, human design stood out, and exploring these personality charts and utilizing these tools, understanding these different concepts, I have these concerns that, you know, it can be a little bit of a labeling system, and or at least somebody can interpret it that way, right? So maybe that's the shadow of it. So, you know, human design, I wasn't able, when I first started exploring it, it definitely wasn't something that I could find or, you know, kind of figure out on my own using the free tools that were available online. So if you could, you know, sort of briefly explain to our listeners, what is human design and why is it important?
Yeah, of course. So I totally understand that not recognizing like or even be able to find any information in human design, because it literally is a rabbit hole. I feel like it's as wide as it is deep, and there's just so many things from it. But in essence, human design is an esoteric self-discovery system that was created in 1987 by a man. I can't remember what his like real name is, but his like he changed his name to Ra Ururu, and so that's how what he is known by. In terms of human design. And so he downloaded the system over 8 days in 1987. And so, yeah, that's not that far away. I mean, us 90s kids probably is a lot further away than what we think it is. But it's based on ancient systems, and it's based on a lot of different systems, which is why I think it makes it so massive. So it incorporates astrology, which is like a huge, massive system in itself. It's influenced by the chakra system. It takes in information from the Chinese I Ching system, which I don't know too much about other than it's their spiritual, based on their spiritual book of wisdom that interprets what we call 64 hexagrams, and that relates to 64 gates. It incorporates the Kabbalah life tree. I can't remember what that's actually called, but the channels on your human design are taken from Kabbalah. So its influence is not exactly imprinted on it. It's just influenced from those systems. But then you have modern sciences like quantum physics and then psychology as well. So it's ancient systems along with like some modern sciences blended together. And you literally need to know someone or have someone to interpret, because it is a lot. So many of us are walking around with a condition or a program based on our childhood. And most of us, I'm sure there are exceptions, we're raised by parents who also have their own emotional trauma and the whole generational trauma and epigenetics. And And so you're raised with this program that you feel like that's how it should be, when a human design can actually bring you so much awareness to who you are to your at your core, regardless of what this conditioning is. And how can we shift away from a condition that's not serving us? And how can we see things about ourselves that we've always viewed as maybe a hindrance that is actually a gift? Or how can we take something that we can transmute it to its highest expression, so it's not in the shadow expression? And human design gives room for all that movement to happen.
And can you remind me to just, like, you don't have to like go into them and find details, but what are the different types again?
Yeah. So there's five types. And because you mentioned something about labels earlier, I do want to say that a lot of people will like latch on to a type, and that they're a manifesting generator or that they're a projector. This is just the tip of the iceberg. And while you will resonate with something within that type, most likely, it's not the whole thing. And so if you want to explore a little bit more, it's important to like you dive into your chart, because that's where all like the magic and the juiciness of you exists, and not necessarily being categorized in a type of one of five, right? So, okay, so we'll go into them. I'll tell a little bit about each one. We'll start off with the most common, and then we'll work down to the least. So the most common is a generator. They make up 36% of the population. They are known as the great builders. They are here to build what they love. They have this aura, this open and enveloping aura. So basically, they are magnetic and pulling things into their aura for them to respond to. That's this response for them to respond to things is literally what gives them energy to do the things that light them up. And when they are in this, when they are in that vortex of doing what they are lit up by, it's like they could be in it for a couple of hours and come out of it like, oh my gosh, I felt like 15 minutes. But they're so energized by it. They're not depleted by it. And then when they are in alignment, they have like this feeling of deep satisfaction with what they're doing. And a cue for them when they're not in alignment, which is called their not self theme, is when they feel frustrated. So that's the generator. The manifesting generator makes up 32%. So that's the next common. I'm a manifesting generator, and I identify, I know I just said like, don't latch onto a label, but I really identify as a manifesting generator. I'll tell you a little story about it in a little bit, but they're known as the express builders. So they are here to build what they love as well. And they also, again, they're a hybrid between a manifester and a generator. So they're more of a generator, but so they also have that open and enveloping aura that pulls things into them. And they get that energy from their sacral system that lights them up. The key difference between a manifesting generator and a generator is that a mani-gen has this expansive energy where they feel, I always say that I'm not a pick a lane type of person. I'm not going to just stick with this. I have to go wherever my energy is pulling me to. And so people on the outside looking at them could look at them as like, my gosh, you're all over the place. But to them, it's, I'm just following where I'm intuitively led. And the great thing, or the funny thing about mani-gens, they're known as the express builders. So they tend to skip steps to get to where they're going. But at the end, when they're at the end, they realize they had to go back and fill in the steps where they missed. So they don't really save time at all. And this is so me. I had a session with a coach, and she, in your chart, you have what we call fear gates that can give you some insight to what some of your fears are that can be holding you back. And I was in the certification process, and she asked me like, what are your fear gates? And I'm like, I don't know. Fear gates. What are those? She's like, they're in your spleen. I'm like, oh, I don't know about that. And so she helped me understand it. And then I went into the certification group and I tagged the instructor. I'm like, did we ever learn about fear gates? And she's like, yes, Karen, it's in module 15. And when I looked at it, I didn't even do it because I was literally skipping to get to where I wanted to go, where I felt comfortable in doing a reading. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't need to know fear gates. I've completed the whole certification, so I know about them now, but it's just, we tend to like skip, but then we don't save time anyways. Their theme. So like when they're not in alignment, they feel frustrated. When they are in alignment, they feel satisfaction. Projectors are the next. So they're 22%. They're known as the guides, and they have deep, deep wisdom. Their aura, they have a penetrating aura. So they literally can give you so much wisdom, because of that penetrating aura. a lot of resistance that the projectors can face is if they offer that wisdom, like unsolicited. So if they just tell people like, oh, you shouldn't do this, or I think if you do this, that's the wrong direction. It's important for them to ask for an invitation or to even say, can I give you this information? Just because their wisdom may not, other people may not be ready to receive it.
Yeah.
The fourth one is manifestors. They make up 9%. They are known as the innovators. And so they have this close and dense aura where like they propel things out of the way so they can stay focused and just achieve what they need to do and to like initiate. They don't need to respond to anything. In fact, if they have like this intuition to like pursue something, that's usually a sign for them to go ahead and pursue it. When they are in alignment, they feel peace. And when they're not in alignment, they can feel more anger about things. And then the last one is reflectors. They are rare. They're less than 1% of the population, and they're known as the mirrors. So they're here to reflect back to the rest of society. They have what they call a sampling aura. So they're feeling into other people's aura as well, and they amplify it. So for them, it's so important that they're in the right environment. If that environment itself is where they feel like they can be themselves, is important for them, just because they take on the auras or the energy that they're around. And their theme is when they're not in alignment, they feel disappointed. And then when they are in alignment, they feel like this element of surprise. My sister's a reflector, and it's so true. It's, and she's, I've always said she had such an old soul, and that makes sense. Like, she's here to like reflect back to things. Like, it's, yeah, that's exactly how she is. And usually reflectors will feel things in their chest. And so she feels it. Huh. And I asked her, I'm like, what does it mean? Like, how does it feel like a surprise? Like, what does that feel like to you? And she said, she's like, oh, it's like a, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, kind of like a little, like not a big surprise, like hurrah, but like, just like, oh, like a kind of like a little small surprise that, and it feels good when she's in alignment.
So can each of the, like the different types feels like, is one associated more with your gut, one associated more with another
so
part?
So usually that stems with the authority. And
so it's the deeper reading, right?
Deeper, yeah. And reflectors are wide open. We're not wide open. They're open and undefined. So they don't have any definition in their center. So they don't necessarily feel things in their stomach like a generator or a Mani Gen would, because we have that defined sacral. I have a defined sacral, but I also have a defined solar plexus. So I feel a lot of feelings in my stomach, especially when I'm lit up by something.
I feel like a lot of like CEOs and like founders of companies are like manifestors. Like, I could just see like bulldozing through to get that one thing done. Like, I could see innovators living in that camp. I don't know.
But I think also, you know, the whole like manifestors are 9%. I always think about this, the whole concept of like, just do it, like Nike's just do it, or like the hustle mentality of like, we got to go, go, go. That's really speaking kind of to the manifestors of just doing it, but they're only 9%. So a lot of us are conditioned that we need to hustle, that we need to like keep going and not rest, because if we rest, then actually we might not, then we're not productive. But for projectors, rest is, they have success in the rest. And so I think it's really important to find out like how that energy flows. Like, how do you use that energy? Do you need to rest, or are you always feeling like you're hitting a brick wall? Are you forcing things to happen because of the program that you're telling yourself?
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. So as popularity of these personality tests, including human design, kind of grows, I am noticing a trend amongst really the younger populations. And I think back to, without aging ourselves, like the days when you would spend at the pool with the Cosmo magazine, right? And you would look through like your horoscope and you knew what your sun sign was, because that was really the only tool that used to be readily available, right? Mm-hmm. And this used to determine, you know, your dating life back in high school or whatever. I don't know.
No, so, one's gonna ask me the homecoming. The horoscope said no.
Yeah, I know. Well, according to Cosmo, me and my husband would have been doomed. So, you know, so my question is, like, obviously, like, that's a label, right? Like, I thought when I was a young kid that I was like the boring, like, reserved Capricorn, right? And yeah. I've since broken out of my shell, thanks to Louisa. But, you know, understanding yourself deeper when you actually do a reading with someone, I guess my question to you, like, for the youth out there, someone in their adolescent years, like, how can human design help them break free of their labels, and not necessarily mm-hmm. the labels that are put on by, you know, these different design systems, but mm-hmm. just labels in general in mm-hmm. life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I hate labels. I mean, like I said earlier, like the five types, I mean, you're more than your type. Right. And so, but I think we are always constantly looking outside of ourselves for confirmation of things. So I think a lot of us have comfort in labels because we're sinking our teeth into something that we can bite on. Whereas all we need to go is inward and all of our confirmations within. But I had a subscription to Cosmos, so I know exactly what you're talking about at the end. Flip to the end and look at your horoscope. So I think it provides, again, a lot of information about who you are. You could be raised by two parents who are manifestors, who are just doing it, or who are generators, who have like this endless energy to constantly be going, and you're a projector and you feel like you have to be constantly be going and not resting. And so recognizing how you utilized your energy could be at such a young age would be, I feel like, so freeing as you navigate the world. I had a high school friend who had her daughter, I think her daughter is like 19 now, 18 around there. And I knew her when she was first born. And so my friend messaged me because she was struggling. And she's like, you know, she's really big into astrology. She loves crystals. And I was wondering if like a human design reading could help her. And I'd be happy to do one. So I pull up her chart. And one of the things her mom said was that she often has high highs and low lows. The thing with labels, especially like this one, what she was either getting like a manic depressive diagnosis or some sort of personality disorder. A lot of these personality disorders are based on like unhealed trauma. And so they create, again, a label. And you are more than your label. So she was telling me she had high highs and low lows, and I never really know who I'm going to get. Like, what day is she going to be someone happy, or is she going to be someone like, you know, really depressed? And so when I looked at her chart, she had this emotional wave. So those who have a defined solar plexus have an emotional wave, and her emotional wave had high highs and low lows. And when I did the reading with her, I said, you know, I understand that you have these high highs and low lows. It says in your chart about this. And let's talk about what we can do when we're in these low lows. And so it's just like, it's the flow of the emotional flow coupled with the trauma that's amplifying and magnifying it. And not necessarily, okay, let's put a label and give you some medication for it. And so not to say anything against psychiatrists or psychologists, I think it's just another way of looking at it and like just kind of like a bird's eye view on things, and like working with maybe a trauma informed therapist to navigate that. But the human design can kind of explain like, this is how your emotional wave is, and it's okay.
Yeah.
For it to be to have that wave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I found that like human design for me, and what I'm hearing you say right now, it almost gives you permission to feel the feels.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. and permission to really own and lean into who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So when you and I had our session, Allie was super sweet and gave me a surprise birthday reading from you, and I loved mm-hmm. it. Here's what it helped me understand. So I'm a pure generator.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone that knows me, works with me, hangs out with me, knows that I do have endless energy. It scares me sometimes. I just go, 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 because I don't know any other way. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I would, and I still do, criticize myself. Like, well, maybe I shouldn't be going this fast. Maybe I should be slowing down because everyone else around me says I'm doing too much. Like, but it just brings me joy. And yes, I do run to the light. And I do run to fun things. And when I'm in it, I don't even realize the time passes.
Yeah.
So it gave me permission to own that quality about myself, because it's in my code. It's in the DNA. It's not going away. P.S. I think my son Emerson is exactly also a pure generator. Allie knows him and knows that he is like, energy. But I also learned, like, I procrastinate. Now I know, I should say that. I learned why I procrastinate. I used to think it was because I love the rush of getting something done on, you know, under pressure. No, it's actually because what I learned from you, Karen, is that if I don't have all of the answers and I'm missing a little piece, then I'm paralyzed.
Yeah.
I can't move forward.
Yeah.
So if I can't, I like to make decisions quickly. And if I can't make a decision quick enough, it's because something's not right. And I procrastinate on it. Whereas other humans, other people just make a decision. Well, I can't. So I've always been like, you know, getting coaches, how do I like productivity lists, like, you know, to-do lists, like, here's how you do better, work better when your mind's fresher. The more it's like, no, I just procrastinate. And I don't, and I recognize to give myself, and here's the tool. And I'm going to get Bridget how I use this for work. You help me realize as a peer generator, the best way for me to move forward is ask yes or no questions.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So now I've been asking my team yes or no questions.
Is it helping?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I even like,
she did it to me too.
And I was like, girl has no idea, but I got some new tools.
But yes. Well, she can do it back to you too, because she's also totally. She also has like, that sacral.
I'm like, I wrote something new for the podcast. You like it? Yes or no? wait for the ellipses on the phone. She likes it. Yes. I got a thumbs up. So permission to run big energy, permission mm-hmm. to understand why I procrastinate. Also, I can see the finish line before the race has even started.
Yes.
The macro and the micro, I can see that. I don't know why I can see it, but I can recognize. And I learned all of this through our session. Mm-hmm. And also what I love about it is I was able to bring in some, you were able to give me some tools. And again, the yes or no question, it's so simple, but holy shit, it's such a profound tool.
Yeah.
That has just made me, you know, do better at work. I was at yoga earlier, which is why I probably smell. So sorry, Ellie. And I was talking to my girlfriend, who's also like a worker bee like me and loves to, you know, unpack the truths of yourself. And I was like, for work, human design is so fantastic.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm, you learn these little tips and tricks about yourself with work. So y'all know everything about me now. Tell me, human design and work. Yeah. How does that help you in whatever your career might be? How does it help you?
Yeah.
And what can you learn from it?
Right. That's a really great question. I think a lot of it comes down to what you're talking about being a pure generator. The pure means sacral authority. And so that's your authority. So your sacral center is what gives you that indication of, is it a go or no? And whether you get that, if you get lit up, like, yes, then let's go. If you don't get lit up, like, no. So there's like that barometer of like how to move forward. Each design has their own authority. So recognizing what your authority is, what is your magic barometer that lets you know if you're, should you do this or should you not? And it depends on the type. Projectors and reflectors don't have the sacral authority. So, yeah. And even manifestors don't have the sacral authority. So it really depends on what that is. So recognizing that and recognizing how to use that.
Can I ask one question?
Yeah.
For the folks on the, like a clarifying question, you talk about sacral and root center. Like, what does that mean for folks who might not know?
Yeah. So when at the beginning I said that human design is influenced by the chakra system. So,
great.
So if you think about your chakras, yeah. So mm-hmm. you have like your chakras where your sacral chakra is and your root chakra. Those are essentially where your centers are as well. There are 9 centers. And so they're not exactly one for one from the chakras, but they're influenced by it. So your sacral center is essentially your sacral chakra and like where you would feel that. And for those who are pure generators or have a defined sacral, mm-hmm. they will feel this feeling in their stomach. Yeah. Where it's like, it lights, it's a giddy, almost like it could be a giddy feeling. They feel it in their stomach. And a lot of times, even in business or work or any point in your life, you have to recognize, are you saying yes because you feel like you have to? Are you saying yes because of FOMO? Are you saying yes because there's like a reason why? Or are you saying yes because you truly want to do that? And recognizing what your authority is can give you more clarity on that. Again, in business and work. I think the other thing is recognizing, so your root center, again, like similar to your root chakra, they both have different roles, but in human design, your root center is all about, it's a pressure center. So it's all about initiation, beginning things, how we handle stress. And those with an undefined or open root center might tend to feel busy and need to be busy when they're around other people because they're taking on that energy. So it's a check-in with yourself. Am I being productive because other people around me are productive and I just feel like I have to, even though I don't want to, and this is draining me? Or does it feel good to be productive of what I'm doing? So it's just an awareness, a break away from this conditioning and this programming mm-hmm. of like being asleep and just doing things on repeat, and then tune into yourself and like recognize, you know, who you are and how you operate.
You know, I almost equate this to like what's going on now. A lot of organizations are determining if they're going to go back to work full time. Is mm-hmm. it going to be a hybrid model? And to your point, based on, you know, what type you are, some people may get more energy from working alone by themselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And other people will perform better when they're surrounded with that energy, whether they like it or not. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting too, again, from a business standpoint, you can learn so much about the people that you work with and how you team with each other based on mm-hmm. based on what you are. Mm-hmm. Like totally. You're a manifesting generator, right?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I'm a pure generator. Obviously, we're the best match ever.
you're the most common. Yeah.
We're both pure too.
Yeah?
We're
both pure. Yeah. You're pure. Yeah.
So pure.
Yeah. No, you know what's interesting about when I'm hearing you talk and relating this to business and work life is it's very similar to the clairs to me also. Mm. So like the chakras, they're based in the body, right? Like your head, yeah. your heart, your gut. So when it comes to like making decisions, you know, somebody who's clairaudient, you know, maybe they'll hear yeah. something. Somebody who is more, I don't know what the nose one is, but something might say like it smells fishy, yeah. right? They're yeah. more in tune with how something smells, or, you know, maybe someone's more visual. Maybe they'll see yeah. something. I like that concept of tying it back to the body or tying it back to mm-hmm. you and mm-hmm. how you move about this world,
yeah.
how you are when you enter a space and how you mm-hmm. receive information. Yeah. So it seems like it would be a good tool to remember too, like, oh, okay, well, if I'm making a decision, I actually feel this in my gut. I feel like a little flutter. I feel a little mm-hmm. like thing in my chest.
Right.
I think that's interesting to kind of yeah. practice and
yeah.
play with.
Yeah. My chiropractor, she's amazing. She does network chiropractic. I don't know if you guys have heard mm-hmm. of it, or it's like an energetic adjustment. It's really cool. I saw your face, Tina. Like, well, now I got to explore that.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Next one. She's a reflector. And her business schedule, her work, I said this to her, your work hours are like a reflector's hours. It is incredible. It's not necessarily conducive to like other people are like, really, you're closed that day? But for her, like she honors that for herself and honors her business. And she's able to show up better because she works in chunks. 3 hours here, done for 2 hours, then 3 hours here, close this entire day. Like, and she has a thriving business. And I think that's the thing a lot of people don't realize is when you operate from your higher self and how you're supposed to operate, success is going to be inevitably flowing your way because there isn't any resistance. You are in a place of openness and abundance. And so tapping into that, even though it could be different and like, especially if you're used to operating a certain way, it could be a little scary, but recognizing that and like going into the flow of things can actually create more success in your life.
Obsessed with what you just said.
Yeah.
Obsessed with it because
don't ask me to repeat it. I don't know.
I'm not going to. Like, they're like, I have no idea what I said, girl. I'm so sorry. But yes, when you operate when your higher self and with your true purpose, success does come your way.
Yeah.
And I love that human design helps, again, the permission helps you understand. Because I mean, your friend, this energetic chiropractor, who I feel like now we have to go see. Society will tell you, well, no, you actually have to work 9 to 5, or you have to do evening hours because of the working parents.
Well, that's
or
who, you,
right? I mean, like, society will tell you that, but once you honor yourself, you know you can show up better. I mean, what a great gift that you have and that you're sharing with everyone, Karen, in terms of helping them just, you know, on the pathway to being like who they can be and should be.
Thank you. I do feel like that's a big part of my purpose is doing that, and so thank you for allowing me to come on here and share that message.
It's awesome. Let's talk about relationships and human design. How does, like we talked about work and how helps you become a better worker bee and understand and perform at your best self and all that. What about in relationships? How do you, understanding who you're with, how does that help the pairing?
Well, I think, again, recognizing the energy of, you know, someone might have a defined root center and who can take on a lot of stress and pressure and can handle a lot and can just, and has like this natural desire to want to do things and initiate things, be partnered up with someone who has an open root center, who needs some alone time or needs to, doesn't have that sustainability as well. And I think it's important for the partners to recognize that in each other, that it's not everyone is like you, not everyone's going to mm-hmm. handle it like you. And, mm-hmm. and it's not that they're doing anything wrong. It's just, that's just how their energy is and how their design is. So bringing that awareness to that. My sister is a reflector. She's married to Manny Jen. And she's like, I just let him go. He's constantly gone. Like, I was visiting them in August and I'm like, where is he? Oh, he's at the office doing this. Where is he now? He's at Home Depot. Like, he literally has to have projects and he's constantly go, 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 go. And she's just like,
Adam's a Manny Jen. My husband, who was just out here working on his table and then a conference call at the same time.
Well, she's just like, yeah, that's just as long as I have my time to like just be by myself and, you know, prepare myself if we're going to go somewhere. So they make it work and they ebb and flow and it works great because they each provide them space for that. And I think that's where we get so constricted, like, how come you're like this and you're not like me? Like, that's where the challenges are. But if we provide space and openness for each other, then we're allowed to like operate from, again, from our higher self, as opposed to like a shadow expression.
Yeah, I just love that these tools are so available to everyone.
I know.
You know, yeah. Like all these different modalities of getting to know yourself better mm-hmm. Can help you appreciate, understand others and have that empathy, that sympathy that,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I believe there's nothing ever wrong with you, with anyone, right? Like, we are human beings who most likely had trauma. Most likely in our childhood, because that's part of our journey, is to like navigate this healing process and to learn our lessons, like that we came in to learn. Mm-hmm. And we, even for manifestors, because they can have such an intense energy to them, because again, they propel, they tend to play small, because when, as they were younger, they learned, oh, people can't handle this intensity of me, or people can't like handle like me just going ahead and doing something. And so they learned to play small and be secretive in what they're doing. And I think a lot of our gifts that are easy for us were probably maybe not something that was widely accepted as a child. Like, I love to talk. I have a defined throat center connected to my solar plexus. I was a chatterbug like growing up, like, and even constantly I would say something and people look at me, I can't believe you just said that. Like, just, and so then I learned, like, oh crap, I can't, let me not say anything because I don't trust the words that are coming out of my mouth. Like, I don't know if it's the right place to say this. And so, but yet that is a gift of me being able to communicate from my heart and being able to like communicate from my emotions, and so easily and effortlessly. And it took me a while to accept that, as mm-hmm. opposed to hiding it. And so this human design brings awareness of these gifts that you have that you may not realize that they're gifts. So you're holding mm-hmm. it back. But how about we embrace it and we move forward honoring it?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, back to the conversation that you guys were having a couple minutes ago at the start of it, when you were talking about how you did this for your friend's daughter. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine if this was part of the educational system.
Right.
Like, right. I mean, whatever yeah. it is, the most pivotal, yeah. you know, the most formative, you know, part of your life.
You sent me an article. Was it an article or was it a meme or was it I have no idea. It was something.
But you know, I sent you something.
You forwarded to me on one of the channels. I don't remember, but it was something along the lines about our generation and how we were so pressured. No offense to our parents. Yes. They're doing the yes. best job that they can. And God help us all, because we're trying to just navigate this world with social media and our children. And
yes.
No offense to them. But there was just this massive pressure. Like, you need to figure out who you are, and mm-hmm. you need to figure out a major. Mm-hmm. You need to pick mm-hmm. it, and you need to start thinking about it when you're in high school and start thinking
stick
about
with
where
it for
you
30
are.
Years. Yeah.
Yeah. And totally. And what the article was saying was basically like, our generation, just now we're so interested in human design and so interested in, like, there's just been this big comeback after the great pause, where we all are just trying to figure out who the heck we are.
Yeah.
Right. Cause we had to choose, mm-hmm. even though we weren't necessarily ready to choose or didn't spend time, you know, learning about ourselves mm-hmm. or learning about our body or how we show up in this world before we chose our careers. And now there's been, I mean, I don't really know many people that haven't, you know, shifted their career in some way post pandemic. And I just find that really interesting. And I think that the youth is, this generation coming up is going to have so much more access to that.
Yeah.
And so much more awareness, because there is like this collective awakening that's happening. And so many of us are wanting to like dive deeper and like heal these wounds so we can show up again from like our higher self, that these kids are being raised from these. And so the work, a lot of the work has already been done. And so then, you know, the kids will already have like, not all of them, but like most likely have a lot of stuff modeled to them, or have already like the journey's already started to end this generational trauma or whatever it is. So there is like a very, especially I've heard a lot of babies being born now within the last couple of years have such like magical souls to them because of the timing of when they're coming in.
Totally. Don't ask me what this means, but I know like we've had people tell us like it's the Aquarian era. Like this next generation of kids being born in are like the ones that are going to save us, you know, God help us all. They do. But funny story about breaking the trauma or breaking the system. I always tell a funny story about Raya, the 5-year-old, because we'll have to interview her for one of these episodes. But I was reading her Sleeping Beauty a couple nights ago. I told you this. Sleeping Beauty before she went to bed, and midway through it, I was like, she does not need a man to save her.
Oh, right.
So, like,
right.
I'm going to send me stops. So I'm like, Raya, just so you know, you are independent. You are sophisticated. You can save yourself. You don't need a man to kiss you to wake you up. She's like, yeah, mom, I know. She kisses her. She's like, I got strong muscles. I was like, oh yeah, she's got it. And then she's like, but mom, my husband, he's going to work. He's going to clean. He's going to cook. I'm going to sit in my relaxing chair and relax all day long. And I was like, what?
Uh-oh.
We're not a Vandura, or just like, we are hustlers. We work hard. We earn everything. She's like, mom, she goes, I see you work. I see you at computer. Oh. I see you clean. I see you cook. I'm just going to relax in my relaxing chair. My husband's going to do everything.
Oh my God.
And then my husband over here is like, Tina, just stop. Stop.
She doesn't need the girl power.
She doesn't
chat.
Need girl power. She needs to know how to make her own bed and be kind to her brother. Like, just stop. She just turned 5. But
that's so funny.
The point is, she is modeling her mom's behavior at a young age and recognizing it. Mm-hmm. She's probably not a generator. She might be something else. But how cool would it be if we were given the tools to help our kids understand this is who you are, and for the parents to know this is how you're. Kid ticks and talks and all of that, and here's how you guys team together.
Yeah,
right. Yeah,
because I guess I'm saying I need help with my daughter. Maybe.
Well, you know, one of the things that I actually want to do, I saw this. I think it was promoted within the certification program as like something else being taught by someone else. Okay, let me just. All right, Manny, Jen, I know you want to be everywhere. Let's just focus and get the certification over with. It was a parenting, like children and human design, how to parent your child through human design, recognizing their design, and even like honoring your design while you're parenting their design. And I started to explore a little bit of that with my own kids, but it's something I definitely want to get into a little bit more down the road.
Let me ask this question real quick, just for our listeners too. Human design is unlike, I would say, like Enneagram or like a work personality test. Like, it doesn't change, right? Like, it's based on your birth time. And
yeah, so it's like astrology, your location, birth time, and place. No. Time, location, date. There we go. It's based on all those. I did just see someone say that it could possibly change, and I don't know why. And I don't know if that's always the case. I honestly don't know what influences that. Someone had posted in our certification group asking that question, and I can't remember what the answer was. I know that there are transits that happen, like planetary transits, like your solar return, like all that stuff that can, if you can look at like in certain, like in genetic matrix, which is the program that I use, you can look at what your chart is on your solar return. And it changes a little bit based on the planetary transits, but at its core, it's still who you are. If you just look at your, what they call the quantum chart. But yeah, I don't know. That's a really good question. And I almost like don't want to know the answer to that, because I think that's a whole can of worms and then like maybe another rabbit hole that I don't want to go down. But I don't know the absolute answer to that question.
Okay.
So then one question before we get to closing it out. You talked a lot about different different tools for the different, you know, different types. Are there any like other hacks you have for like, you know, if you're a pure generator, you should be doing this. If you're a manifest or Manny Jen, I'd love calling you that. You should do this. Like, is there, do you have any hacks for each of them?
So I think the hack, so the big tools that are the heavy hitters in human design that run through all of your, like when I do a reading with someone and then we do like, we cover your centers. I'll always say like, just make sure we run that through your strategy and your authority. So strategy and authority are the two big like tools, in human design. And so recognizing that and knowing that will take you so far, like will take you really far because of it's your authority is your decision maker, how to make aligned decisions, that barometer in your body. Strategy is how to navigate that energy. And so we can go into each one for that, or I can just pick a couple.
Pick a couple. Curious.
Okay, so let's do generator since we'll do generator and Manny Jen since that encompasses the three of us. So generators have this their strategy is they need to respond to something. So a lot of times we're so conditioned to like just do. Let's just go and let's just do. And again, manifestors are the only type that is to just do. Everyone else, for the most part, has to respond to something or wait for something. Generators need to respond to something, whether it's like an idea that they have, someone coming up to them. And it could be in your case where like, oh, wouldn't it be cool to do a podcast? Like, yeah. And then maybe that conversation of a podcast came up multiple times before you guys were like, okay, let's do it. It's like responding. How does it feel? So you're going to respond to the podcast. Now we're going to check in with that authority. Let's check in with that sacral authority. Or if you are an emotional generator, that would be kind of like sleeping on it to see if there is clarity that if you have the same response while sleeping on it. So an emotional authority is all about clarity over time. So that could be sleeping on it and how you feel about it the next day. Your sacral authority is like in the now. So that's kind of how the two operate. So it's checking in with yourself, responding to that that's coming in your way. And if it feels good, then you're good. Then you're good to go. Mm-hmm. And then that yes and no question is a really good way to access that. Manifesting generators, they are also respond because they're a hybrid. So they also have that responding to something. But because of the manifesting part, they also have an informing where they need to almost inform the people around them that where that decision can impact. Mm-hmm. Partly because of that is they can be so expansive with their energy and like in these various different lanes. And like one day they're in lane A and then like next week they're in lane D and they're just kind of going wherever they're intuitively led, and how that can be from the outside looking in can make them look like, gosh, you are doing so many things. Like, why are you doing so many things? But if you inform the people around you, like, hey, by the way, I'm going to be focusing on this for a little bit, it lowers any resistance. So it's like responding to something that lights you up and then informing the people around you. And then again, checking in with whatever authority you have as your go.
Mm-hmm. Like to go. So for us, it's checking in. I mean, we do respond to things quickly, Ellie and I.
Yeah.
Like there's no hesitation. It's a full body yes or full body F no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I do feel things in my gut. And what's interesting is that I'm a Virgo. Virgo is also associated with that digestive system. Like their gut mm-hmm. is like their center, mm-hmm. you know, and same with Capricorns.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. All these pieces, all these different modalities of understanding ourselves, it's all in alignment with what you've talked about in human design.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I will say one thing is that important to know that human design isn't like a hard science. It's like an experiment.
Yeah.
So it's based on like these ancient systems and it's based on science, like, you know, quantum physics. But in reality, it's like, while you identify with a lot of it, when I tell people is like, take what resonates, leave what doesn't.
Totally.
Yeah. And then experiment with it. How does it feel to do like a yes or no question? Tap into it, bring awareness to it. And one of my aha moments for me was I was in Florida last March and I had a friend who is a projector and I feel like she has like so much wisdom and she always like, I just love like, she's always like, I don't know. I just feel like she's always up to like amazing things. And had come up to me and said, or called me and like, or messaged me like, I have a great business opportunity. Like, I'd love to tell you about it. And I had seen her on Instagram talking about it, like, oh my gosh, my life is going to change. I'm so excited. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're the projector. You know what's up. Of course I want to, like, you know, check in with this. And it was a business opportunity that I didn't resonate with, but the fact that she was doing it and the fact that it was like on the ground type of business, I'm like, okay, let's try it. In my stomach at the time when I reflect back on it, it was flat, like flatlined. There was no sacral activity. It was like done. But I allowed my conditioning and my programming to kick in to tell me to do it. And so we had business meetings, and I would either miss the meeting, not show up, turn it on, but watch TV while it was on. I mean, like, I was not paying attention to it. I felt so overwhelmed. I had no idea what was going on. And then I had to like confront with myself, like, is this something I really want to do?
Yeah.
And then when I said, do I want to end this? It was like, again, that whirling feeling in my stomach. So then I called her. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to do this. I'm going to check out. And that has always been a benchmark for me. And like that I reflect back on of like, this is in a moment when I listened and when I didn't listen. So it's like that experimentation and then getting used to paying attention to your body, because your body's always communicating with you, and paying attention to your body. So then you know like what the right direction to do. And I'm going to eat my words for a second. There are some human design, like reflectors where it's not about their body. They don't get that cues from their body. They get the cues from their environment. Like, does their environment feel good? So that's why it comes down to that authority, what that authority is. Mm-hmm. If you learn that authority and like experiment with it.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Any parting word do you want to leave with our audience?
So there's one thing I do want to leave with. It's a quote that I found by Ra Uwuru, and it's actually on my sales page, Your Life by Design. I have it up there because I think it just summarizes human design so beautifully. And he said, understand deeply what it is that you are so that you are deeply aware of what you are not. And if that's not a quote that summarizes conditioning versus not conditioning and who you are to your higher self, like, it's just, I have goosebumps. I love that quote so much. And that's a big part of the mission that I'm here is to like help people identify who they are at their core.
I love that. See, we're so similar. How can our listeners find you?
So I am on Instagram. My hashtag is I am Karen Galway, and my website is karengalway.com. And so awesome. You can check out all that there.
We'll leave all of that in the show notes.
Yes. Perfect. Book a reading. Yes. She's amazing.
Thank you.
She'll give you permission to be you.
Oh, and thank you, ladies, again, for this opportunity. And I really appreciate it. I am a big fan. I love all your podcasts. I think one of my favorite ones was the one about the trainer and a nutritionist, because I've been going through my own thing that Allie knows a little bit about, but that it just resonated with me. I literally was like sinking into it and like didn't want the podcast to end. I'm like, no, tell me more.
That's awesome. We love that. Yeah, we're lucky. We've discovered and teamed with so many incredible people that we're excited to bring, you know, you and others to the forefront, because our whole goal is to just help people live an inspired and the right life. And
all these different tools and tricks can help us do that. Of just tools.
It's a masterclass of me, right? Something like that. Awesome. Thank you, Karen.
Thanks for being here. We really appreciate you.
Of course. I'm honored. Thank you so much.
Hi listeners, it's Allie. Thank you for streaming with us today. If you enjoyed the show and want to show your support, please leave a review, subscribe to get notifications on new episodes, or share it with your loved ones on your preferred social media outlet. If you are not sure how, please reach out to us on Instagram at Soulful Streaming, and we are happy to help. Please enjoy this instrumental piece inspired by the show, written and recorded by Aubrey Mabel. Until next time, this is Soulful Streaming.